These last couple of weeks have been filled with things in my own life. A couple of weeks ago, having been on that walkabout, that I traveled throughout our entire diocese from one end to the other, from north to south, east to west. And then this past week, I spent some time apart, alone, trying to take all of that in many ways. So what I'd like to share this morning is, in my own kind of working through some things that I've been reflecting on and working on in my own journey. One of the things that is so much a part of our conversation today throughout the diocese, it's a priority in our church today, and Bishop Curry, our presiding bishop, has certainly set it as a priority, and that is racial reconciliation, racial injustice, and how racism sort of pervades our society today, and trying as a church to kind of engage with that, be part of that standing up for something different. Now, I want to put together some of the thoughts from my experience the last couple of weeks and these readings this morning that we engage with in our gospel and in our first reading. Today is the end of the season. It's the end of the season called Epiphany. Remember, it started back just after Christmas. It may seem long ago, but there was the wise men. Remember the wise men? Then there was the story of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. There was the story of the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Throughout this season of Epiphany, we see Jesus ever more deeply. We see Jesus becoming more present to the world around him, and people coming to know who he is in a deeper way. That's the story of Epiphany. The Greek word is epiphanos, a showing forth, a showing forth. So each week we see Jesus being shown forth in new ways. And one might say today, as we finalize this season of Epiphany, since Lent begins this coming week, the gospel reading today is really one of the ultimate stories of Jesus being known to his disciples in a whole new way. An entire new way. The story is the story of the Transfiguration, and Jesus invites some of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to go up a mountain. Now, both in our first reading from Exodus and from reading the Gospel reading, there's mountains involved. Mountains are always in the Hebrew Scriptures this sign of being closer to God, this sense of ascending the mountain and coming closer to the touch of God. Moses receives the Ten Commandments on the mountain. And today, Peter, James, and John go up this mountain. Now, these followers of Jesus, they've known Jesus. They know who he is. They've walked with him. They've spent time with him. They've been in ministry with him. They think they know him. And yet, on this mountaintop, this description of the Transfiguration, they see Jesus in a whole new way. They experience Jesus in a way they've never experienced before. And through that experience, they will never be the same. They go through what I like to refer to as they see Jesus through a different lens. They've had a lens through which they've seen Jesus, and they've experienced him, but this is a totally different view. This is a totally different vision. This is a totally different experience of this Jesus the Christ. And they will never be the same. They will never be the same. And so as I engage with those readings that we hear this morning, that idea of lens is one that really is before me. In our call to engage with racism in our world today and in our communities, I believe, you don't have to agree with me, but I believe that the story of racism and racial justice, injustice, is told through a white lens. The narrative of the story of racism is really through a white lens about another experience. That makes sense. And so that's the dominant narrative through which we hear and understand. And I think there's another lens. There's a lens through which our brothers and sisters of color see, perhaps, in a different way. In a different way. And how can we kind of look through that lens? How can we begin to see a story and a narrative that may be different than the dominant narrative, the dominant way that we tell the story. How can we do that? How can we engage with that? So often, I find when we engage in conversations about racism individually, so often we're trying to show we're not racist. We try to show, I'm not really like that. And we try to show examples of that. And it's so focused on one-on-one relationships. What we can become oblivious to is the systemic racism that exists in our culture, in our time, the institutional racism that so exists that we become insensitive to the larger issues and concerns. How do we get to see in that other lens? How do we open ourselves to that? Not that by just conversation, all of a sudden justice is going to arise, but at least beginning to have conversations in different ways, to understand the different lenses through which we see things. Had an experience during the walkabout, a conversation where a few of us gathered together, and this kind of struck me. I'm not sure I can give justice to the experience, but let me tell it anyway. A few of us were talking, and we were talking about racism. This was in a conversation. It's not on any videos or anything you see on the website if you've gone to all that stuff. These are conversations afterwards, and there were four or five of us in the conversation. One person was African-American and had grown up in the eastern part of the state. Other folks in that conversation were from all over North Carolina and from other places as well. And here's the seeing something through a different lens. At least this was the experience for me. I'll give you this example. So we're talking about the 50s and the 60s, the 1950s and the 1960s, how things were changing so much. Thank goodness for civil rights. Thank goodness for the leadership of Martin Luther King, who also used the mountain image. Remember the image? I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. Using that image of just kind of put that in there as well, that image of the mountain. And how much hope arose and how change was coming about. So this one person, African-American woman, said, I grew up, and I may have a little bit of a different perspective on that than you do. And we began talking. And she shared a story when she was a little child, probably a teenager, of, I think it was her aunt, became very ill. She lived way out in the eastern part of the state, eastern part of our diocese, actually. And she became ill, and they wanted to get her medical care, and they went to the local doctor in that area and recommended that she really get to a place of better care, and they wanted to get to medical care in Chapel Hill. And so the folks in that conversation were saying, well, thank God you had that available to get to Chapel Hill. What a blessing that must have been. And this person of color said, well, let me tell a bit more about that story. You see, when we decided to go to Chapel Hill, and I remember the roads were not like they are today. It was a long drive. But between us and Chapel Hill, there was no place to really stop and get any food or refreshment because we wouldn't be served. You know, we have to go to the back of a place near the dumpsters, knock on the back door, and see if there's any extra food, if they were kind enough to give us any, just so we needed a drink of water on the way. And know, too, the anxiety of how ill my aunt was, and knowing that it was really nowhere along the way that we could stop if we needed a bathroom. There were no places for folks like us to stop. There were a couple places, but they were deplorable, and you wouldn't want to stop there. So I just wanted to tell that story. And this was all done among folks who knew each other, really, and were spending time together in conversation. That's conversation. And that's trying to hear another person's lens. Just to hear it and to see it in a different perspective. I really feel we're called to that in our own lives. As we engage with each other, how can we, like Peter, James, and John, be transfigured? How can we see something in a new way? How can we be changed in our lives that will never be the same, that we can go forward together and change our world, change things around us? I think we're having this experience here at St. Paul's with our Ministry for a Refuge for Refugees ministry, where we've engaged with folks from a totally different part of the world, from a different faith tradition, from different experiences of life. And we've moved, as I said a couple weeks ago, from looking to do for to do with. And I think in hearing their stories, we're getting another lens on the experience. We tell the story, our country tells the story of the refugee crisis through one lens. But listen and talk to the folks who've been refugees, who've lived in refugee camps, who desire a better life and are able to come here. Listen to those stories that we can learn from each other and have a new lens as we strive to bring about justice in our world for so many folks. So as we walk today, the final Sunday of this season of Epiphany, may we go forth trying to find how can we show forth this light? How can we show forth things that perhaps we have not been able to experience? How do we go forth looking through a lens, a different lens, to experience things? As we enter into this season of Lent that is upon us, how can we seek reconciliation? How can we seek forgiveness for just seeing things our way, not opening ourselves up to realize there's a larger way and another way of understanding? It's the way we'll come to know each other. It's the way we'll come to care for one another. It's the way we'll come to love each other. And it's a way that we'll go forth with a different voice in this world. A different voice, a different light, a different life, and a hopefulness that we can have a change in this world, which is so needed. So let us celebrate this conclusion of our season and look forward to this wondrous season of Lent as we walk forward to the great resurrection of Jesus.